Good morning. God bless you. I'm grateful to the Lord for each one of you, my family, God's family. I so appreciate, you may be seated. I so appreciate the Spirit of the Lord and just how He causes things to just mesh together. God is so awesome. God is so awesome, and he has a way of doing things that we could never, ever orchestrate. And my heart is excited because of what I've experienced this morning, what we've been experiencing over the last few weeks, as a matter of fact, this year, the year of spiritual, advancing the kingdom. I was about to say the year of spiritual advancement, but that's all right. It's that too. But before I proceed, as Pastor Greg said, well, let me welcome each one of you, especially any special guests we might have with us today. God bless you. Thank you for coming to worship with us this morning. And also in the absence of our pastor, Woodrow Walker, who is in Jamaica. He said he's in Jamaica on a missions trip. I'm not fussing because he did invite me to go, but he really is on a mission. He's gone over to pray for our dear sister Emmy Luars, that Mackie and Tamu's mother, and also he's speaking there. So, Pastor, we know you're going to be watching this streaming at some point. And you just need to know that we love you and we miss you and mwah. I know he's gonna stream it, so amen. But God has been saying some things to us. There have probably been a few buzzwords, if you will, that you've been hearing recently. Even as recent as this morning, through the poetry that our dear Chantel Pope ministered to us, and I hope you could hear what was being said. That was, as she was doing her poetry, my heart was rejoicing. I'm thinking, wow, this is just so in line with what I believe the Lord wants to say to us. I just pray that what God has put in me and what I believe he's given me for us will come together in a way that we can all understand it, so that our lives can be affected, so that we can move on in the things of God. You know, many of us, that we've been saved for a long time. Some of us have been saved for a short period of time. But nonetheless, there's never a time that we ought not to be growing. We should always be growing and maturing in the things of God. And God has a way of calling us to attention. He has a way of calling us to attention. Pastor recently has been talking about, last week, I believe it was, he talked about how God had sent Elijah up to the mountain. But Elijah ended up going to the cave. And in this, we read about how God caused, it was wind, then it was earthquake, then fire, and then there was the whisper of God. It said God was not in all of the natural stuff. He was not in the wind or the earthquake or the fire. Now, there were some cases where he had been prior to this, but this time it said he wasn't. But it was the whisper. A few weeks prior to that, Pastor did a message where he talked about heart recalibration. You remember that? Talking about our hearts need to be recalibrated. And if you were here on Wednesday night, we had a panel of our young people, Brother Osa, Sister Rosalind, Krista and Karis, and God gave them some golden nuggets. Hopefully, if you were, those of you who were here, you heard that. Some of you who could not be here, those of you who could not be here, we'll still let you in on it, because there were some key things that were said that I think is not just significant. I believe it was the Lord speaking. I may not be able to give the credit to which one said what. Let me put these on here. But I do believe it was Osa who talked about recalibration. And he said that, okay, let me back up. He talked about the songs of significance. I believe it, the songs that we sing here, they're not just songs, just for song service. But last week, the song Krista was leading, and it was about fill me up till I overflow. I want to run over, and we were in it. We were in it, and I believe that was the plea of many of our hearts. But Osa said something on Wednesday night. He said, what happens when something overflows but is standing still in the same place? He said it becomes stale. And I started to think about that. And I thought, and also too, when something overflows and it's in the same place, yeah, it becomes stale. It starts to smell. And sometimes it even becomes molded, and I mean all of the bacteria and stuff is formed. I believe it was Rosalind who talked about forgiveness. You'll see how all of this fits a little later on. Rosalind talked about repentance. She talked about repentance, and she also shared that we have to be wise and making sure that we don't try to judge people's motives because we don't know their motives. There were so many nuggets that were shared on Wednesday night. But back to the heart recalibration. The pastor gave us a definition, and it means to check. It means to, let me just give it to you right, to adjust, to rectify, to make changes to an instrument so that it measures accurately. That instrument has to be readjusted. Sometimes, as far as going all the way back to zero. But God will show us some things, and he will tell us we need to make adjustments. Pastor Greg mentioned that just a few minutes ago. He talked about recommitment, rededication. We'll talk about that later because I want to take it in order here. I am so sorry. But recalibrate, to adjust, to rectify. Now, the Urban Dictionary, y'all didn't know I knew how to go and my kids laugh at me now because I'm learning a little bit about how to use some of this stuff on my phone. So I went to the Urban Dictionary, Krista. It's y'all's little dictionary. It's usually all out of whack, but I can't say this is the first time I looked up something in the Urban Dictionary. But the definition of recalibrate in the Urban Dictionary says to change the meaning / or interpretation of one's original message or statement that has been viewed unfavorably by the listener or the audience. So to change the meaning or the interpretation of one's original message or statement that has been viewed unfavorably by the listener or the audience. I came up with another word for that too. Sometimes that could be compromise. And have we not seen that recently in a lot of the campaign stuff and the election? changing the tune, changing the definition. Well, that's not what God is asking us to do. But to recalibrate, to go back, readjust, so that we can measure accurately, so that we can discern rightly, so that we will know, as the scripture talks about, the difference between good and evil, righteousness and unrighteousness. We'll know how to make the right decisions, because the Holy Spirit will help us. God's going to show you how to pull this together. It's kind of fragmented right now, but it'll come together. Also, a few weeks ago, we were here on a Wednesday night, and God reminded me of something that my daughters told me about that had happened one night after Wednesday night service. That, you know, the young people get together and they fellowship after service. Some of us, as soon as our service is over, we run. We take off. We go. And I know some of us have schedules. We have to go. You got to get up early. But sometimes just a tad bit of engaging in fellowship, you never know what might happen. This particular time, they spotted a vulture on the top of the steeple. I know, right? The audacity, right? The audacity. A vulture. Top of the steeple of Cross Culture Church. As my husband would say, don't spook out. Don't get spooky. But I believe it was significant. I believe it was significant. And from my understanding, you saw it more than one time. But when it was told to me, my spirit was disturbed. And I was thinking, the audacity. My sister and I were praying about this. And I reminded her that, you know what? That vulture did that, but let me tell you something else. In this building right here, when this building was constructed, we were not the first occupants. Pastor Long, at that time it was Glenwood Hills Baptist Church. A Bible was literally planted underneath the foundation of this building, which was significant. That the Word of God is what will come forth from here. Pastor reminded us that night, I think I made the mistake to say, the Bible was buried under here. He said, no, it wasn't buried. He said, because you bury something, it's dead and it's no good. But to plant, if it's planted, that means that something is going to be produced as a result. Y'all with me? Now think about the steeple, the very top of this. As you do research, you understand why the origination of the steeple and that. But remember how the enemy, when he led the Lord, you know, when he was trying to tempt Jesus, and it said he was at the pinnacle of the temple, the audacity. At the pinnacle of the temple, when he was tempting the Lord, and of course, you know, Jesus didn't fall prey or victim to that foolishness. But as I thought about this whole thing, you know, of course, you think of vulture. Certain words come to mind, dead, death, And I said, you know, with what has been happening, what God has been saying recently, maybe God is saying something to us with regards to death. Don't get spooked out again. Last week, Prophetess Catherine, the lady who spoke French, who was here. Now remember, she was loud. She was authoritative. She was a feisty little lady. But her husband, Brother Mag, he was low-key, and I'm like, woo, I wonder when she gets home if she's gonna say, you didn't say it like I said it. She said, and the Lord said, and we're going to go to the scripture that she was talking about. And I know we've heard it a lot of times, the valley of the dry bones. But she heralded, if I can say that, she was loud and boisterous with it. And Ashley, when she first told me, when I was sitting over here, I was in the middle of the worship, and then she touched me on the shoulder. I was like, oh, why do people? I'm thinking to myself, oh, I don't like when people do that when I'm in the middle. And she said, sorry, Sister Catherine. And she said, Ezekiel 37, she said, I want you to tell your husband, and I believe God would have me pray for you all. And I was like, okay, please pray for us. You know, I was talking about kind of in her own, time, you know, in her private time, pray for us in that regard, especially when you're talking about dry bones. Okay, let's fast forward. So he whispered, but she shouted. I believe God really wanted that shout. That was just basically Brother Mag's personality. You know how that thing balances, you know, each other. So this comes back to mind. What is it that God is saying? Let's go to Ezekiel 37. Let's not commit the sin of familiarity this morning. Again, like I said, I know we've heard this scripture over and over. We've heard some folk preach it, and they paint that picture, and it's just woo. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants to say something to us, and I want us to listen. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me. My Bible might read a little different from yours. I love this big Bible. Pop Mason gave it to me. It's a big, good old study Bible. So it may read a little bit. It is the New International Version. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. I saw this and I thought, okay, God said, Ezekiel, you're going to have to sit down for this one. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were not just dry, very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? Very dry. If God had asked me, well, let's just see what he said. I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. We probably would have said, what? Tell the truth, shame the devil. Somebody said, yeah? Who said, yeah? Well, I probably would have said, no. Can these bones live? I said, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord, exclamation point. I would have shouted that, but this microphone is not with me today. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover your skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. What faith? And I was prophesying, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. Ezekiel, obedient again. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And what happened? Breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet as a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We don't say that. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Oh, my people, I'm going to open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. All right. So while we know that this story is talking about Israel, I believe that there's a parallel here with us. Very dry bones. Spiritually dead. Let's just think about, okay, they were dead. Death means the cessation of life. No more life there. No more life. It looked like there was no hope of being resurrected. Let me point out another piece. These bones were not heaped up on top of each other. You've seen some of those documentaries or news where, you know, they just have the bodies laying on top of these were strewn all over, just in a big area in this valley. They were disjoined. The bones were disassembled. They were disconnected, dispersed all over. But God had a plan. The thing that was missing after he rejoined them, after he caused flesh to be put back on to their bones, there was still something missing. The breath of God. The breath of God. We can look like we're assembled. We can look like we're connected. We can look like we are uniformed, like maybe that army looked. But without the breath of God, there is no life. As it was in the very beginning, in Genesis, until God breathed into Adam's nostrils, there was no life. God wants to revive us. Also, that definition of death, it says physically or spiritually dead. We can be physically dead and we can be spiritually dead. Either way, God wants to revive us. Pastor talks about a revival quite a bit. But until we have a revival where we allow God to renew us, refresh us, regenerate us, we're like the poem that Chantel read. We're like the walking dead. She talked about deception. We can be deceived because we feel that we're making noise. The bones made noise. They rattled. We can rattle. We can shake, rattle, and roll. But without the wind of the Holy Spirit, we're just noise makers. we're just noisemakers. And who's been deceived? We are. She said the deception of misperception. And I thought about misconception. You ever heard of false pregnancies? You don't hear about them a lot. Some call them false pregnancies. Some call them false conceptions. And there's a case in the Bible where, and of course I'm still talking about Israel, but we're paralleling this, where it was like a woman who was pregnant. I thought she was pregnant. But it was this big mass that was shaped like a fetus, but it was not a fetus. It was air. It was wind. So we can have a false pregnancy, a misconception, where we believe we have conceived. I won't say, you know, we always talk about believe you receive. You can believe you have conceived. But if it's that a mass of just emptiness, and the definition goes on to talk about when it's a false misconception, it's a burden. So it's painful to the one who is carrying it. So we become deceived. And you know what else happens when we're deceived? We become discontent. I'm pausing for a reason. We become discontent, or discontented, however you say it, because we've been deceived. And we become frustrated. And we don't understand, just like Chantel had in a poem, what we don't understand. When we don't understand, generally we will jump to conclusions, or if we don't understand why God is not doing something that we believe he ought to be doing, we jump ahead of him. Deception, discontentment. All of these are leading to that death that we're talking about. Some of us begin to gradually, let me say this. Pastor said, because I want to talk about the gradual death. He mentioned, as he talked about heart recalibration, he says society has a way of desensitizing us gradually. Not only are we becoming neutral, but many times we're fighting on the wrong side of truth. And we have attitudes of apathy. So he talked about this gradual desensitizing. Many of us who've been saved for a while, the enemy plays on us differently than he did when we were, you know, young Christians or younger in our walk with the Lord in the early. But he will, if we're not careful, he can gradually get us off track, gradually desensitize us, gradually start nibbling at us because we're not aware of it. We don't feel it. We don't feel it happening. And we don't see it happening. So we're deceived and we think we're okay, nothing is happening. But then we become the walking dead. We're not producing. Some of us are discontent because God has put something in you and you know it's there. It's this drive, it's this passion, it's this thing that you cannot get rid of. You can't shake it. Sometimes you don't know what to do with it. You got to take it to God. God will show you how to do it. Then there are others of us, we know God has put, and I'm talking about things for the kingdom. Many times it can look like career stuff. It can look like family. It can look like all kinds of things, but it's for kingdom purposes. But you sit. We sit and we wait. We wait for somebody to call us out, then give us a special word that God says, you're going to do this. And God says, you're going to do that. And then you wonder why, when you're looking for that and it doesn't happen, and then you wonder why, God, why don't, you know, you confirm it through somebody else? But you're frustrated because God has given you something. He has graced you and gifted you with something. But you're just sitting there holding it. And if God, when God gives us, when God graces us, and when he gifts us with something, I don't care how little you think it is, and it's for kingdom purposes, then there are those of us who need what you have. We're lacking because you're not putting your part in. You're not stewarding over what God has given you. Now, this is the stuff that you'll probably turn your ear to, because I know y'all, you know, we talk about, we get tired of folk, church leaders talking about money. And we are almost scared pastor off, I believe. You know, he don't talk a whole lot about money and giving. Sometimes I want to say, you better talk about that. The Bible talks about it. But all jokes aside, there are many of us, God has gifted us with resources for kingdom purposes. But what do we do with them? Some of us just consume it. You've seen people who just like to possess stuff, or just like to, you know, just hold on to it, or just say they got it, or just show they got it. Don't y'all get thrown off of my little necklace now. Krista gave me a gift card. And y'all know I don't pay retail for anything. I know how to be a good steward now. Just you got any question to ask me, I'll tell you. And while I'm at it, Sandra said, now don't wear a whole bunch of those necklaces now, because when we put that lapel mic on, it's going to be bumping. And I'm like, I don't want to wear my little cute necklace. But anyway, Angela and I got it hooked up. Let me get back on track. But God has blessed some with resources. And when we don't use it the way God intends, stuff happens and it's not good. And we become embarrassed. And we say, when are they going to get this roof fixed? Okay. I'm pausing for a reason. I'm not pausing so y'all can go to sleep on me. I'm pausing. We need some Selah. Is it Selah? Those pause moments. Those Selah moments. See, my husband talks fast. He goes fast, and we're trying to keep up with him. I'm pausing on purpose because I want us to think. And I want us to hear what God is saying. So, how do we know? Well, I think I just talked about it, how we know when we need to recalibrate. Well, God will show us sometimes, like it says in Galatians 5:7, you did run well. What doth hinder you? You're running well. What happened? What stopped that? Because we're getting older, senior saints, I remember when I used to think that was old. Now I'm there. 60 and over, you know. But Frank, I used to think that was so old. But because we get older, age-wise, chronologically, that doesn't change God's direction for us. He doesn't change his mindset. Oh, I see now that, you know, your little earthly tabernacle is kind of, you know, failing there a little bit. So, you know, don't worry about that. He doesn't change it. We have to recalibrate. And the recalibration starts in our hearts. That's where it's... If it doesn't start in our hearts, if our hearts are not affected, you know what we're going to be? Just robots. We're just going through the motion, lifeless. And God wants our hearts to be in. He wants our hearts to be so joined and so intertwined with his that we can hear his heartbeat. That we will know what God is saying to us. And we don't have to always run and get a confirmation. He can whisper. He can whisper. I thought about that whisper. I like to think on words and play on words. Whisper. Usually when somebody whispers to you, it means they want only you to hear it. They want you to hear that. It's for you. That whisper. God loves you so much that he wants to just whisper in your ear. And what do we have to do? Incline our ears. Incline our ears and be ready, as Aunt Shirley was saying, yes to the Lord. I hope you hear something. I sure did. How do we recalibrate? We do what Rosalind said the other day. We repent. We go back to zero. We go back to zero. God shows it to us. We repent. We have a change of heart, change of mind, change of direction, and we want to go the way that God says for us to go. The scripture tells us, set your heart on things above. That's part of recalibration. Not on earthly things. That's Colossians 3:15. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. The scripture tells us to pursue, I think this is when Paul was talking to Timothy, pursue, go after, pursue, go after righteousness, godliness, faith, love. We got to forgive one another. Some of us, before we can even go back to zero, well, yeah, you got to repent in order to forgive. You got to repent first. And you forgive. You know when we don't forgive? I know this sounds so elementary, but it must not be elementary when the Lord put it in the prayer, quote, the Lord's Prayer, when the disciples asked him about how we should pray, and he talked about forgiving others, that you might be forgiven. We always need to be in a place of receiving God's forgiveness. We may think we don't because we think we got it all together, we don't do any wrong, but we always need to be in a place of receiving the forgiveness of God. And he doesn't let us off the hook because that person wronged us. He doesn't let us off the hook and say, well, you know, that's right, they did do you wrong, so just wait until they come back to you and ask you to forgive them, and then you forgive them. That's not what my Bible says. It didn't say anything about whether they asked me or not. Now, believe me, I'm not trying to make this sound like a little easy thing. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to put your heart in that place where you would want to. Because forgiveness means that you are pardoning someone for a suffered wrong. You choose, you willfully choose to pardon that person. You willfully choose to do that. So back again, that has nothing to do with whether they ask you or not. You just always be ready. And the scripture is loaded with, the Bible is full of scriptures that talks about forgiveness. Wonder why? Because he knew we would need to do it a whole lot. Why? Because we're imperfect beings. Why? Because we're still growing in wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord. But if our hearts are perfect towards God, if our hearts are where we want to please God, then we're going to do what it takes to please him. Mortifying the flesh, the deeds of the flesh. Amen. All right. Another part is, and I think Osa talked about this too, prayer and fasting. We want to reignite the Spirit of God in us. Sometimes we just need, you know how to jump off a battery? You ever, anybody's battery ever died on them? Everybody. And you find somebody else with a good battery that can jump yours off, give you a little bit of rejuvenation. They hook you up to theirs. Hey, and you're ready to go. And with that, it also makes me think about when God said to Adam, and he's saying this to us, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? I hope we don't have little fig leaves. That's not going to hide anything. But then, after he asked Adam that, then he asked Adam's son, his old bad self. He asked Cain, where is your brother Abel? Where are you? Oh, you know, I'm here. You know, I'm here. Everything's all right. I'm here. Where's your brother? You okay? Where's your brother? No. We won't answer. We shouldn't answer, am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Yes. Where are you? Where's your brother? Then Pastor took us on over to the First King. Where are you going? Where are we going? Are we even moving? And then he says, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing here? That's a big question. It's loaded by itself. It's real personal. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing here? Hallelujah, anyhow. Hallelujah, anyhow. Now, let's go back, and I'm just about finished. God said three times, if I'm correct, to the bones, the very dry bones, the dead bones, the deadness, I will make breath enter you. I will put breath in you. We sing the song, Lord, breathe on us. Lord, breathe in us again. Breathe on us again. You know how God expects of us when we're at this place? Is to realize it, acknowledge it, and allow God to fix it. He's the only one. He's the only one who can cause dead bones to live and make those dead bones an army ready to fight. Scripture often talks about races The scripture talks a lot about fighting and warring and that kind of thing. We don't want to forget that. We're in warfare. We haven't seen anything yet. My daughter said to me the other day, she said, "Mom, I want to know how to cast out a devil. I want to know how to cast out a devil." And I had to think back. I was like, how did I learn how to cast out a devil? No. Maybe God just showed me. But if I have to cast out one in the name of Jesus, I'll do it. Guarantee it. We watched Bishop Tomlin. He was old school Pentecostal preacher. And we saw him casting out devils. He knew his authority in the name of Jesus. He knew his authority. And he knew his lifestyle and that he was walking in the things of God. So the devil couldn't say, you know, "Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, who are you?" He knew. But that the army was raised up as a result of God breathing on them, or breathing in them again. So they didn't just get up and just dust themselves off and go, "Oh, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. We're living again, so we're just going on our little journey." But they were ready to go to war. They were ready to go to war. So God is saying something. We've been pushing our young people forward, and hopefully everybody's okay with that. Because you know what? They're at the age where we were. I thought, I said, "Oh my God, you know, I was young when we first got started. I was 24 years old, 25 when we started pastoring. A little pipsqueak." And many of you are at that place where you are where we were when we were, I mean, we were going forth. So while God is telling us to raise them up, set them apart, we've prayed for them. Some of you may be wondering, "Why did Pastor, you know, I don't feel like I'm a minister. I don't know what Pastor saw in me." And some of you may be saying the opposite. "I don't know why he hasn't. I don't know why Pastor ain't seeing me." You guys not doing that. But there's something that happens when that transfer is made through the laying on of hands. When you're set aside, you're set apart. Then God, it's okay, see, I won't need the ink pen. Thank you, dear. Thank you, dear. Thank you. Yeah. I like the fact, though, that you're watchful. I like that. I like the fact that you're watchful. I appreciate it. But God is, he's putting emphasis on those that are coming. You know, sometimes we say coming behind us. We don't know the way things are happening nowadays. We just, but then those of us, the aging ones, the senior saints, we can't drop the reins. We can't drop it. We cannot. They need us, we need them, and God has not told us to stop. He has not told us to stop. So we're not gonna just sit back and say, you know, just let them have at it. They're doing a good job. But no, together, together. These bones, they were rejoined, they were reassembled, and they became that marching army. So we wanna reposition ourselves so God can use us to his fullest potential in us. I don't want to say to our fullest potential, because we ain't got nothing. His fullest potential in us. And we don't want to shortchange God. It says these, it was as if they had no hope. It was as if, and we get to that place. I'm not trying to act like we don't get there. We get tired sometimes. We get tired. My son-in-law, Elijah, said something the other day, Because he will just sometimes it's just on him and he just hauls off and runs around the neighborhood, as we were saying in the country. You know what I mean by haul off, don't you, Pastor Greg? He would just haul off and run. So I have to kind of, you know, walk gradually, right? Karis may be 500 feet ahead of me. But Elijah said something the other day. He said, you know, if I'm going to run 5 miles, he said, I just don't even put it in my mind that, you know, I'm tired, I hadn't done it in a while, I'm going to stop. He said, because if or when I do that, it's over. He said, I never put that in my mind. I was like, woo, really, my Lord. So we don't want to, we have hope. We have hope. We have the greatest power in the world, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He wants to revive us. He doesn't want us to be just noisemakers. He wants to revive us with real life, real life, real life. So we're not going to do this. And I say to that vulture again, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. The father of lies. Barked up the wrong tree. Because we're going to be. We got to be before we do. We're going to be who God has called us to be so that we can do what God has called us to do. And we're not treading back. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. And what did the Lord say at the end? All of this happened. He said, then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it. Amen. 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 So it took a miracle. It took a miracle. It's going to take a miracle for us. It's going to take a miracle for us. Let me say this too. So, when our very fine pastor gets up here and says, y'all know he fusses at us. Y'all hear it? Y'all hear it. He gets on to us very gently, and sometimes not so gently, about not being in our rightful places. In our rightful places. And sometimes I'm like saying to myself, well, maybe if he just doesn't say anything, it'll happen. Well, maybe if, well, we're not going to look at the crowd. We're not going to look at the numbers. And I know it's not about the crowd and the numbers. It's about being in position to be used of God. We say this is the fueling station. This is where we come to get our instructions. This is where we are dispersed from. But if we don't get it, we won't know what, we won't know how to do it. As leaders here, believe me, we need the Lord. We're not perfect in this. I don't care how long we've been in it. But we need you, God. Pray for us. Because we want to lead, first of all, rightly, and we want to lead effectively. And just like these bones, these folk obviously got weary at some point. They got weary. I don't know all of what happened to them. I guess they got shot down in war. But we get weary sometimes. But the scripture tells us to not weary in doing well. If we do well, he said, for in due season, you will reap. You will produce. You will benefit from. If you don't faint. And you know when you faint, I never fainted before that I know of, but it just seems like whenever I seen on TV or whatever and somebody faints, it's like they go, and they fall. So the breath goes out. The breath goes out. Now we want the breath to come in. And that first breath should be a breath of awe. Because we are just breath-stricken and breathtaken by God and his awesomeness. And the fact that he would allow us little puny, penny, any little creatures to participate. First of all, to be a part of his family. We're talking about God Almighty. We're talking about the true and living God, the only true and living God. We hear it all the time, so we get so familiar with it. But ah, and he allows us, then he allows us to participate. Think about it. Me, I'm sorry, you and me are part of something God is doing? Come on. You and me are part of something God is doing? He allows us to participate. And then he encourages us and he said, look, don't even look at your little shortcomings and your little stuff. You might have grew up down in Morgan, Georgia, Calhoun County, Waynesboro, Villa Rica, Willacoochee, wherever. And you never thought that you would be where you are and doing what you're doing or not doing what God has made you capable of doing. Whoa. And then, and he's done it all. He just asks us to just position ourselves, position our hearts, stay focused on him and those kind of things. And then when it's all said and done, he's so sweet that he will applaud us and crown us. And we really can't even take the credit. So that's why we have to, what was that song? My hallelujahs belong to you? Yes, they do. Because when it's all said and done, he did it. He chose to use us, but he did it. And then he's going to give us credit like we did something. Whoa. That's more than what your parents ever did. You know, we love our kids and we do something. I don't care how bad, how much they cut up. We still love them and do stuff for them, don't we? Yes. And God is more, he is all holy, righteous, everything that's good. So he goes way beyond what we would do. But he does all of this. And he just say, all he says is, just give yourself back to me. I created you for my purpose, for my glory, my honor. I did that because I want to use you in this overall big picture of things. And trust me, I will empower you to do what you think you can't do because it's always going to be bigger than what you believe you can do. Because if it was your size, you think it's you. So he made sure it's bigger than us so we don't have the audacity to try to claim we did something. Then he turns around. He turns around and says, you did a good job. Well done. Thou good and faithful. There ain't no good in me. The only good in me is you. You the good. Lord, you the good. Come on. Then he crowns us. And then he loves us so much that he wants us to spend eternity with him. Think about that. God tolerating us all the days of our life. Whoa. it ain't no fairy tale. It's real. Wow, what love. What love. We ain't gonna, didn't do a thing to earn his love. Didn't do a thing but just give ourselves back to him. And he said, I'm gonna make it sweet for you. It'll be sweet sometimes here, sometimes not so sweet, but just still trust me and keep your eyes on me. But oh, I got something great for you when we finally get together. Woo! We can't even imagine. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart or the mind of man what God has planned for us. We can't even imagine it. We can't even imagine it. But you know what? I want that. I want that. Pray for me. I want that. I do. Woo, Lord. So, Lord, we ask you to revive us. Revive us. Breathe the breath of life again into us. Cause the wind of your spirit to blow upon us, Lord, to take us beyond what we could even imagine that you would do in us and through us. We want to be your instruments, oh God. We want to be those instruments, Lord, that you can recalibrate and you can use us to express your love. You can use us, Lord, to fulfill your purposes here on this earth, oh God. Lord, give us that heart after you. Help us, Lord, just to know how to love you more than anything. Give us a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. For you said that when we're ungrateful and we're unthankful, Lord, it's lined up with all of those other ugly things that you said would happen in the last days, that there will be those who will be unthankful and ungrateful. We're grateful. Cause us to always be grateful. Lord, we bless you for your word that is true. And Lord, we position ourselves even now, oh God, for you to complete what you've begun in us, oh God. We bless you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Our hallelujahs really do belong to you, Lord. We bless you, oh God. Wow, our words are not even sufficient. Lord, we don't even know the words to say, Lord, that we can ascribe to you what you are worthy of. So we say hallelujah. We say thank you. We bless you. We honor you, oh God. We love you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name. I'm not going to ask you to come down. But I want you right where you are. You can stand if you like. You can be seated if you like. Because that really doesn't cause things to change. And coming down here doesn't. I think sometimes we can do that so much it becomes a routine. And sometimes we can kind of lose something in that. Not necessarily, but I just sensed that it wasn't to have you come down. But in your heart, some of you have already, just in hearing the message today, you've already resolved in your heart some things. And you've already recommitted and dedicated yourselves in your own hearts And God is pleased with that. And God is ready to help you and to cause you to grow and mature and be at the place where he desires for you to be. But if you've not had an opportunity to do that just during the time that I was sharing, I want you to just take a moment. And I, as I said, I continued to pause because I wanted you to have just a moment or two to resolve some things in your heart as I was speaking. But if you know, if you need to talk to the Lord, just take it a moment or two and do that. Just take it a moment or two and do that.